you give your attention to Dan for a moment?
Once again, I'm your section rep. My name is Daniel Cohen. Just wanted to remind you what's going on in SGA. I'm going to send an email. I was looking to do it today, but it might be tomorrow. Just to let you know, general email. But tomorrow at 4:30 in Hale Auditorium, there's going to be the 42nd Annual Business Leadership Awards Ceremony. That's 4:30 in Hale. Sam Zell of the Sam Zell and Robert Lurie Institute for Entrepreneurial Studies will be presenting a session on Entrepreneurship 101. And the government just wanted everyone to know about that and try to attend that. So that's 4:30 tomorrow in Hale Auditorium. And go check it out. It should be very interesting. It's the 42nd Annual Business Leadership Award. Thank you.
Okay, before we get started today with a few announcements regarding class and also the material we're going to cover, you'll notice that there are some microphones here at the front of the room, and that's because for today's class we're being taped for a very, very special project that's going on here at the University of Michigan. It has nothing to do with your grades. It has nothing to do with what's going on at the business school. It has to do with a very special database that they're putting together here. And to tell you a little bit about that, Janine is going to explain why we've been chosen to do this today.
Okay, I'm here from the English Language Institute, and I and my recording partner Bonnie are working on a project called the Michigan Corpus of Academic Spoken English. We record a lot of different things around campus, discussion sections, lectures, dissertation defenses. This is not content related at all. There are a couple things I need you to know about the project. First of all, it's been approved by the Institutional Review Board, so it's okay for us to be doing this. Second of all, we do want to be able to put your speech on the web, so if there's anyone here who objects to being recorded and having their speech transcribed, please let us know now so we can turn off the equipment and leave you alone. Is there anybody who objects? Okay, the other important thing to know is that when you do transcribe your speech, there is no identifying information used. If your names are used at all, we change them. So, and also for people who speak, after the lecture is over, I'd like to ask you to come forward because we're gonna want you to fill out a little form that'll tell us, you know, what age group you're in and what your native language is, et cetera. So, is that clear?
Are you going to want to distribute them just during the class because they're probably all going to speak, right?
And actually, so.
Do you have enough forms for?
I should. Are you going to be doing group work today?
Yeah, so you can also distribute them.
Is there, actually, before you do that, when people break off into groups, is there somebody who would be willing to be recorded? Because we can't get all the groups, and I'd like to focus on just one.
They're going
to
break up into groups based on how we divide them midway through the class, so you can ask them that.
Okay.
Thank you all for participating. A lot of it has to do with teaching English as a second language. So what they're trying to do, also in part, is there are a lot of grammar books out there, a lot of books about English language that are in fact out of step with the way English is currently used. And so what they're trying to do is create a huge database of classes that are taught in a variety of different subjects, so that then they can create materials for students that in fact reflect the way English is used. So again, it has nothing to do with your grade, it has nothing to do with the content of this class, but of course you want your voices to come through nice and loud and clear so that your moments of fame on the web really come through sparkling and clear, and everyone knows what organizational behavior is all about. Just a few reminders, due dates, today by 5 p.m., your classified ads are due. The individual writing assignment is due Friday at 5. A couple of responses to some questions I've gotten. You can respond to the questions as questions, so you could write your essay just responding to the three questions, or you can put it together as an integrated essay without saying that this is the response for one, this is two, and this is three. So whichever one enables you to come up with the best argument and make the best case for what you're arguing, please follow that format, whichever works best for you. The other thing is you can use materials through Wednesday's class. So, and all of those topics are listed. Again, you got to be careful not, you can't possibly use every single concept we've covered. Choose the select few that you want to use that will enable you to make the best diagnosis and best plan of action. Another point of clarification, in terms of write-ups of case questions, You're given prep questions for every case we cover. That's to help you prepare for class. I don't expect those to be handed in, except if I announce in advance that I want them. All right, and then you'll be given your automatic credit for doing it if you turn them in. We do highly suggest that you write them up for class. It enables you to prepare. You then have a record of the case for your notes for later when you go back to do assignments. But for example, today and Wednesday, I do not expect you to hand in write-ups of the questions. For next class, we are going to be focusing on strike and space. Okay, that's the case that I want you to focus on. Again, there are prep questions for that. Then you may want to just jot this down on your syllabus. Pages 69 through 73 in the Designing Motivating Jobs, those are the pages you want to focus on. Just skim the rest, because we're going to be focusing on the job characteristics model and also the Lawler reading, choosing an involvement strategy. So that's where you want to focus your attention, is on pages 69 through 73 in the involvement.
Again, as far as the writing side is concerned, if we use the course practice sources, you want them documented?
No, you do not have to give me elaborate footnotes or a bibliography for what you use in your individual writing assignment. But if you do use an article, just put the author's name in parentheses. Say where you're getting it from. Don't just say, as the course pack says. I need to know where you're taking something from. I don't need elaborate footnotes. The key is to focus on the managerial diagnosis. So focus on 69 through 73. So what are we going to cover today? Today's class is one of two on motivation. We're going to look at motivation in the workplace. Today we're going to look in particular at external sources of motivation. That is, what other than the content of the job can motivate people to do a good job at work and to deliver the sort of performance you're looking for. Wednesday we'll look more closely at how you can structure the content of tasks so that they're motivating. We'll look at the internal components of the work for how you motivate. And I'm going to introduce multiple frameworks, many of which you read about for today, and then we'll apply expectancy theory to the case of Hauser Coolidge. So that's where we're going to focus attention. Where I'd like to start, though, is on something that I think hits home, which is grades, right? If you think about money in the workplace, grades is a little bit like the equivalent of that for students in a university. And here are two points of view about the effectiveness of grades as a motivator. David Riesman, Ford Professor of Social Sciences Emeritus at Harvard University, says, "When the freshman seminar program was inaugurated, I was one of its chief defenders and argued successfully that it should be ungraded. Faculty members who opposed this said that, without evaluations, students would get by with shoddy work. I didn't think so. The freshman seminar and the senior thesis are the two great opportunities for Harvard students to really get engaged. I sometimes ask an undergraduate, 'Did you take a freshman seminar?' Quite often the answer is no, it's one less chance for an A." So there's Riesman's point of view, questioning the impact of grades. And here's Robert Cole, what he has to say after attending the University of Michigan. Cole, who attended the University of Michigan, recalls his choice of a major. "In my first literature course in college, I thought I'd written a damn good paper on Homer's Odyssey. I got a C-. On my sixth paper, I got an A-, and I was so proud of myself. Looking back, I realized that the professor could have given me A's on all six papers, but had he done that, I wouldn't have studied literature. I would have felt literature must be for idiots if I could spend 3 hours on a paper and get an A-. So there Cole is suggesting, right, that grades are in fact an effective motivator. They get you to focus on the task at hand. They developed his love for literature, whereas Riesman says, well, you know, grades really displaced people's attention to this great opportunity in the freshman seminar. So I'm curious, what's your sense of grades? Is there too much emphasis on grades here? Or do you think that they're a critical motivator for learning? What's your sense? Any opinions? Any thoughts? Michael?
I think they're a good motivator. I think it brings out competition in our environment, pushes kids to strive to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without them, I would probably do half as much.
Mm-hmm. Just other thoughts, Melissa?
I think they're a really good motivator. I was in the residential college in the first 2 years, and I totally slacked off because we got evaluations and we didn't get grades.
Does everybody know what goes on in the RC? Why don't you explain a little bit?
You just get pass fail, and then you get a little written explanation as to what you do in the class and then how you personally perform in there. So I personally, like, totally slacked off because I knew I was getting a grade in the course.
So we have, like, points of view here that say, yeah, they're a crucial motivator. Emily?
I think it really depends on the individual, because I know for me, I like to learn just to learn and get pleasure out of that. And so when there's grades, and that puts a lot of pressure that I don't need, and I think it detracts from learning sometimes. So I think it really depends on whether you're already a very motivated individual or whether you need, like, external motivation.
Mm-hmm. So you've just suggested that there are, remember back to the second class, individual differences in how we're going to react to the exact same type of motivation. Other thoughts about this, Dan?
I think grades are definitely a motivator, but I don't know that they motivate towards the right behavior.
Like what? Any thoughts?
Well, I think there's it's definitely possible to, with so much emphasis on grades, you can motivate yourself to do something to get a grade without actually learning, which is what the grade is supposed to make you do.
So it's called, does anyone know what that's called, Tara?
Rewarding you while hoping for B.
Yeah, so we have the folly going on there, and then there's also, there's another term that was used in your reading. Anyone have any thoughts about that? There's something that they talk about, goal displacement, right? That the grade is there to try and reinforce, try and motivate a certain type of behavior, and instead of learning the stuff, what you're really reinforcing is getting a grade. But the grade is there to motivate a certain type of behavior. Other thoughts about this, how you feel, Kelly?
Sometimes with grades, it may influence the way you think about a class. Like, if you're sitting in lecture and you really enjoy the class, but you take the first exam and you get a C or a D on it, all of a sudden you hate the class and you'll never take another class in that subject again. Whereas if you didn't have the grade, you may be more apt to say, well, I really enjoy the material, I'll sit and listen.
So, Pam, there's taking what Emily said one step further, which is it's not just that a distraction when you're doing it, but, like, if you really love it and then you get a bad grade, your attitude changes. Beth?
I don't think that the grades necessarily reflect learning either. Like, I don't think they're a good reflection. In classes where I've gotten, you know, like a B minus or something, I feel like I've learned far more over the course of the class than perhaps something where I went in with knowledge already and just could ace the exam without even listening. I don't feel like I learned anything in that class, so I don't know if I should be rewarded. I mean, yeah, I knew the material, but did I really learn anything? No.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? So grade, it's not clear what grades are necessarily rewarding or even motivating. Rich?
I think that a concrete example of this, like, goal displacement thing is that, like, you look at someone's GPA. The concept of a GPA presupposes that all classes are created equal. So what you have at Michigan especially is that people actively seek out the absolute easiest classes in the school because they know they'll get an A in those classes. And in doing so, they're removing, you know, the challenges away from their academic experience, and I think that's a sense where grades just, you know, ruin things.
So wait a second. How do all of you end up here at the business school? Where, how do we treat grades here at the business school?
Well, if you look at people who want to get into the business school, for example, I mean, this is a lot of the times the way they did it. They padded their GPA with, you know.
Jason?
If you talk to, like, the admissions people, like, that's not what they say. They say that they look for the people that take the strong classes, and I know for myself that that's not true because I barely took any easy classes. I took maybe one easy class that's considered an easy class, and I didn't get all A's, and I did poorly in a lot of classes, but mm-hmm. I still got in here just because I took a hard schedule.
Mm-hmm. So it's schedule, grades. Other things, David?
Mine was more of test. You study very hard, but then, like, right after the test, I mean, next couple of days, I won't even know the information. It's totally gone out of my mind.
But that never happens in organizational behavior. Never. Other thoughts, Tara?
Just take a stab at the business school again. We already, like, they say they take the best students, all right? You've got the best students. But the first thing they tell you when you come here is that most of you are going to get a B minus or a B flat. I mean, you're taking the best students, and you're telling them that all of you are going to get different grades.
Uh-huh.
Where's the question of me being rewarded for what I am,
uh-huh.
rather than me being placed in one bell curve and say, hey, you're there, you know? Where's the reward factor? I work my weekends, I work Sundays, but I'm not going to get rewarded because I know that there's a curve that's facing me, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's not me. So grades don't really reflect my effort.
So So it suggested that maybe grades aren't the best motivator, especially when you get to the business school. Jessica?
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing that you said. When you have like a median, like a B median, you can work your butt off, and you're not going to get 995, could be a B minus if everyone knows it. So it takes emphasis away from like you knowing it to like you concerned with if everyone else knows it.
Uh-huh.
It does the opposite almost. It's like, I can study this much, I can study this much, and I'll still get the same grade.
So it can have like some dysfunctional effects after all. So Mike?
I also think it depends on how it's graded, like whether it's objective or subjective. Because I know that like if something's like cut and dry, you know, such as like an economics answer, like if you, I think grades could be a good motivator because you're actually learning the information, and like if you put the right answer, you're going to get the better grades. Whereas if you write a paper, which is like graded, you know, based on your teacher's interpretation of your paper, you might think it's like really
mm-hmm.
great, and your teacher might not think the same way. And I think that that also causes like a little problem because as far as like grades are concerned, because if you get the grade you're not expecting on paper, which feel like who is that person to like judge my work
mm-hmm.
based on these are my thoughts and like,
mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate you.
So there's some situational factors that come into play, like whether you're at the business school, whether it's a subjective, so-called subjective examination of your abilities, or whether it's an objective test where there's data and a right or wrong answer. So one of the reasons that we introduce motivation that way is because you day-to-day experience with grades what often happens in the workplace, which is, you know, there's this one type of motivator, typically in the workplace it's money, that we think can deliver all sorts of results that we're after. And it, in fact, turns out that maybe it has some consequences we didn't expect. So we want to be particularly careful in thinking about motivation, in thinking about what we use to motivate people, and in thinking about what sorts of things we want to motivate. And we'll look carefully at the Hauser Foods case in thinking about those questions. But let me give you just a brief overview of motivation. The first question you want to answer when you're a manager, when you're in an organization, is you want to understand what are people being motivated to do? Are people motivated to do the tasks that we seek them to do, right? So we first want to be able to detect motivation, and there are three questions you want to ask when you want to know if people are motivated or not. The first one is direction, right? Where is their effort directed? What tasks are getting done? Right? Just basic thing. Where is their effort directed? The second is amplitude, right? How much effort are they devoting to a particular task? How much of a task is getting done? That's the second diagnostic question when we want to figure out if people are motivated or not to do something that we want them to get done. Finally, persistence, right? How long does their effort last? How long are they doing a particular task? Okay, those are the three questions for detecting whether, in fact, what we want to motivate is being motivated, right? We want a particular task to get done. We want to ask those questions. Now, why do you care about motivation, right? If a task is getting done or people are performing, why do you really care about motivation? Well, the reason is quite simple. The performance, we tend to believe, is a function of motivation and skill. Right? People can be equipped to do a task, but if they're not motivated, who cares how qualified they are? They won't get it done. So on the one hand, if we want tasks performed, we want to know about motivation, but we also care about people, right? We also care that people are satisfied in the jobs that they're doing. And so the way to make sure that they're satisfied is to motivate them appropriately. So how do you start to think about motivation? And let me introduce multiple frameworks, all of which you read about for today in the chapter overview. And there are three categories of frameworks that I talked about. The first focuses on needs. That is, the way you motivate people is you find out what their needs are, and then you address those needs. And the extent to which you can address those needs will motivate their behavior. The second looks at an implicit calculation. It models human behavior as though there's this implicit calculation going on within people's brains. And the third says, well, you need to put certain conditions into place within an organization. And when you put those conditions into place, you'll be able to motivate folks. So the needs frameworks. One of them, the very popular one, is Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. The idea is you need to take care of people's needs at the lowest level, physiological needs, before you then address higher level needs, like safety or security is next. Then after that, there are social needs, right? Esteem needs and self-actualization. There's this pyramid in your reading. The idea is people need to have their most basic needs taken care of. You take care of those first, and then you move up the ladder. And typically, within an organization, it's the higher level needs that we need to address, right? Now, unfortunately, though Maslow's hierarchy is incredibly appealing, there's been no empirical research supporting it. Now, Herzberg came along and said, well, there's really two different types of needs. We've got things that are called hygiene factors and things called motivators. Hygiene factors are the things that have to be in place for people not to be dissatisfied. So pay attention there to the double negative, right? The idea is the more of these things you have, it doesn't motivate people, but you need a certain threshold level of these hygiene factors in order for people not to be dissatisfied, right? This will just keep them from being upset and disgruntled. So things like, believe it or not, salary or work policies, certain things have to be in place for people not to be dissatisfied. But then, after that, you can't necessarily motivate people with more of those hygiene factors. You then have to rely on the motivators. So motivators include things like the way you design the job or responsibility. The more of them you give people, the more you can motivate the kinds of performance that you want. Finally, David McClellan, a social psychologist, and I talked about his theory when we discussed individual differences, but he says, well, people differ on their need for achievement, their need for affiliation, and their need for power. And you should identify what people's different individual needs are, where they, who's strong in a need for affiliation. You know what? It might be best to give them a job where they can satisfy that need. They'll be more motivated to do it. Right? People who are high on a need for achievement, set out really challenging goals for them. Right? Need for power, you might want to be able to show somebody how the better job that they do, the more control, the more authority you'll give them. So identify people's individual needs and then give them the opportunity to achieve and to meet those needs. Now, implicit calculation, these theories, and I'm going to give you a handout at the towards the end of class with models of these theories on them. The idea here is not that people explicitly are systematically making these sorts of calculations. The idea is, rather, we can model their behavior in light of the calculations that are going on in their minds. So, for example, there's equity theory, right? The idea with equity theory is that somehow I'm going to be motivated by the extent to which I'm calculating what I'm getting in return for my effort compared to what other people are getting in return for their effort, right? So if I'm getting paid a lot of money for the effort I'm putting in, and I see that other people are getting paid a lot less for the effort they're putting in, I'm going to really increase my effort because I want to see it as being somewhat equitable. Now, the reverse happens. If I see people doing the same effort, putting in the same effort I'm putting in, right, the input is the same, and their outcome is a lot bigger, they're getting a lot more for it, I'm going to start to reduce my effort because I want to even the scales, right? I'm calculating somehow in my mind that it should be an equitable distribution. The outcome compared to the input should be the same for me as it is for others. So that's equity theory. There's expectancy theory is another sort of way, another sort of calculation model that we'll talk about and apply to Hauser Foods. We'll talk about that a little later. But the final framework you might think about when you consider motivation is putting in place the appropriate set of conditions, right? You can either set up goals, just establish goals. Doesn't make a difference what people's individual differences are. Who cares what the calculations are that are going in their minds? Set out challenging goals, and that can motivate behavior. Or alternatively, there's the idea that if we set up the right set of reinforcements, the right set of punishments and rewards, again, it doesn't make a difference how people differ, doesn't make a difference what they're calculating, figure out what behavior you want, reinforce it with punishments or rewards. So regardless of what framework you use, and the key in thinking about motivation is to use multiple frameworks, because the more frameworks you have, or if you rely on a variety of frameworks, it enables you to address more problems. right? And it enables you to address problems in a variety of ways, because no one solution is going to take care of all problems. And you want to be able to look at certain managerial problems, certain motivational problems, through a variety of lenses so you can attack a problem effectively. Now, when you think about motivation frameworks, a lot of them concentrate on carrots, right, on rewards. Some of them focus on sticks, on using punishments. And you want to be careful to make sure you're paying attention to both punishments and rewards. And you want to make sure that you diagnose a situation to determine, well, what kind of behavior is being punished, what kind of behavior is being rewarded. And also, pay attention to whether this is a theory or your approach is cognitive in nature. Are you taking stock of the thoughts that are going on in people's minds and how they might be evaluating the situation? Or are you applying a behavioral theory, like reinforcement theory, which is, who cares what's going on in people's brains? All you care about is look for the behavior that you want to reinforce, set up the appropriate rewards and the appropriate punishments, reinforce the behaviors, and you'll get what you're looking for. And important, right? Pay attention to individual differences. That's why you want multiple frameworks. People aren't going to be motivated by the exact same thing, right? They're going to be motivated by a variety of different things. So you want multiple lenses for trying to approach motivation when you have a large workforce, or even a small workforce, to motivate. Now, you're going to get to something called principal-agent theory when you get to business economics. And there, the magic bullet is going to be set up the right incentives. Now, that's a very powerful theory, but what I want you to remember is it's one of many theories that exist for how you motivate behavior. And you never want to lose track of the variety of ways of looking at motivation. You were Brenda Cooper. What are you going to do in this situation? Any thoughts? Sean?
I think the first thing she should do is to, because they kept emphasizing that Jay, the guy that had headed the Florida team, was one of them. So I think she needs to somehow gain their trust by either convincing them that it's not to her advantage to sell them out to the upper management, and therefore get some information about how the Florida team manages to keep their sales, and then do that for the rest of your district,
uh-huh,
so that the results can be like more attributable to her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody here want to play Jay? Anybody here from the Florida sales team? Anyone? Okay. Go ahead, Brenda. You're having a conversation with Jay. You have a plan of action. Go ahead. You have some ideas. Let's see the follow through.
So Jay, how do you keep your sales 10% above the plan year after year?
Good teamwork. We work together.
Good teamwork.
Contact. That's about it.
Come on, Jay. I'm one of the guys. Exactly. Tell me a little more about how you do that.
I don't know. We cover for each other. We make sure we get on each other's butts per se. Make sure everyone's getting the job done. Help each other out. Help friends.
You don't think I'm going to sell you out, do you?
Sells have to. I don't know what
I'm saying. All right, so, believe it or not, this is probably how the conversation would likely start. And that's a good line of attack, right? Try and get their trust. Now, there is somebody who knows exactly what's going on down in Florida, right? And a lot of you are going to go out, you're going to become maybe investment bankers or consultants, or you may manage organizations. You may become lawyers. You're going to have access to confidential information, right? Confidential information. Someone's taken you in and counted on your honesty and your secrecy, and yet you know that if you share that information, a much larger number of people are going to benefit from that information. So suppose you're the researcher hired by Columbia University. You're just down there doing research. What are you going to do with that information? What do you think you'd do in this situation? Any thoughts? Danielle?
Since it's confidential, you can't go to Brenda Cooper. But what she can do is, in talking to the people in Florida, she can kind of convince them that Brenda Cooper isn't out to harm them. She just wants to work with them to motivate them to be better salespeople.
You on again? Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm starting.
Okay. You're the researcher. Go ahead. Jay. one more time. How's this going to go?
Well, I know that you have a very low level of trust for Brenda and the senior management, but really, what they're not out to punish you or to harm you. They just want Hazard Foods to be one of the better companies in the industry. And so by cheating them and not trusting them, you're slowing down the progress of Hazard Foods. So really, there's nothing to fear there.
Yeah, but see, I'm getting paid with a low base salary. I get rewarded based on my, you know, performance here as our little group in Florida. So why would I jeopardize, you know, having our sales get bumped up next year, not being able to meet our goals, not getting paid, while the people in the head office, you know, get paid the same regardless of, you know, how we perform. So we're gonna take care of ourselves and do the company.
If I were Brenda, I think I would push to have their compensation switched, and instead of having them compensated based on the amount they exceed their sales fund every year, I would have them compensated like solely on commission, so based on how much, like how many units they sell. That way they're encouraged to sell more instead of just selling above the sales plan.
Ah.
And that way the sales plan hasn't changed.
So you might think about starting to tinker with how they're compensated. So let's start to... Let's start to investigate the roots of this problem, right? Forget about Brenda, forget about the Florida sales team for now. Let's think about Hauser Foods, okay? You're Hauser Foods company, you're the senior management. What are your objectives? What do you want? What is it you're after here? What do you want, Brady?
Increase demand for your product as well as diversifying into other lines besides the baby food.
Increase demand. What was the second thing?
Diversify your market.
Diversify your market. What other things do you want, Jason?
You want to be like the best in your field.
What else do you really want if you're this company, David?
They want new ideas for selling your products.
What other sorts of things do they want here? John?
Well, it's not explicitly stated, but I'm assuming a loyal staff because you depend on them for innovation.
Other things? Andrew?
Profits and growth.
What other sorts of things do we want? Daniel?
They want their staff to work 100% at their 100% level to do everything they can do to increase sales.
Other things that we want here?
Good, Aaron.
Are we assuming that the senior management has the same desires and interests as the stockholders, or are we?
Well, suppose you did assume that.
That seems to be what we're assuming here.
Yes. And what else, if that's not the case, what else do they want?
Maybe they want job security.
Ah. Want some job security? Other things that they want?
For the employees to work as a group with really good communication.
Ah. Good, Mike.
I want their staff to meet the plan no matter what.
Meet the plan. Meet the plan no matter what. Right? Go ahead, Andrew.
Loyal customer base.
They don't just want a loyal staff, they also want a loyal customer base. Karen?
While they want the staff to meet the plan and we give 100% effort, they want perfect paperwork turned in for everything.
Ah. Where would we be without paperwork, right? So, okay, Okay? Let's look at Brenda Cooper. Let's look at her situation. What does she really want? What is it that she wants? Marcy?
She heard that if she meets the sales plan or whatever the team is, she'll be promoted.
Maybe promotion. When?
She wants the district managers under her to communicate more.
Hmm?
Convey their feelings more.
Cynthia?
So this is more like her own personal goal, but she wants to do well in her job.
Other things? What else is she looking for? Go ahead, Kurt.
I think she wants job security because she's not entirely confident in keeping her position.
Some job security. Other things? We'll cover.
Last bonus form. Business tax.
One more time?
Bonus form. Business tax. The bonus form.
So, they increase their sales?
And they get bonus.
Oh, and they get, and just, what does she feel about that? Does she want the bonus?
Yep, potentially not.
So she wants to increase sales, she wants the bonus from it.
She wants innovation and more motivated salespeople working under her.
Uh-huh.
You know, the regions, the districts.
Other things? Good. Aditya?
She wants the district managers, if they have any new idea, to share it with others so that everyone could benefit from it.
Other things? Good, Adam?
She wants trust with her district managers.
Trust? Rebecca?
I think she wants to be like an extension of the senior management because they're all in Atlanta and Georgia and the sales team is down in Florida.
Mm-hmm. She wants to feel like she's an extension of the senior managers. Okay. Other things, Laura?
Well, in accordance to that, I feel like she wants power, especially over the Florida sales team. She feels like she can't do anything about them.
And I guess in addition to sharing ideas, more than anything else in her life right now, she wants to know Florida's secret.
Just let's check in. How are you feeling about giving up the secret? Okay, what is this bunch of guys down in Florida? What do they want? I mean, what is it they're after, Adam?
They want to protect themselves.
And how? How are they going to be able to protect themselves? What is
there? Maintaining their secrets, like maintaining their strong performance numbers.
Oh, so there's something else they want.
They want to maintain their strong performance numbers.
Oh, okay. Other things that they want from?
They want to like make large bonuses while working in a relaxed environment.
Okay, so there's two things there. Other things that they want? Go ahead, Matt.
They really want profit share when it comes down to like decent or secret. They only get $1,000 if they do that.
Uh-huh.
Instead, they would get a profit.
Freedom from what in particular?
Freedom from, like, the district manager not telling them exactly what to do.
Uh-huh. And is there something in particular? They just want to be left alone, and there's one thing that really bugs here.
I was going to say they want the need for affiliation.
Okay, and with who?
Just their coworkers.
Uh-huh.
Their boss, Jim.
other things? What else do they want? Dad?
They want to be a true team. When the new guy came in and tried to do everything himself, they wanted to make they kind of cut him down until he became a team player.
That's the kind of affiliation. Other things, right?
For the amount of money that they're getting, they want to keep the workload down the same.
Uh-huh. So. Other things, Marcy?
They complain about the amount of time they have because they have to fill out so many papers for the people in Atlanta. They say they don't have enough time to actually do the job they're supposed to be doing.
So, like, you want time free? They want their freedom, and God, this paperwork is an annoyance. Other things?
You want to keep that job secure because they're not sure that they can earn the same kind of money with their education.
So, security there? Supreme?
They care more for the betterment of their team than the company.
Aha. So. Preserve the welfare of the team or the company.
I think essentially they want control over the sales plan because they're you know going crazy over why they might lose their jobs and if they just had some input into the plan because there's a disconnect between what the executives want and what they're delivering.
Uh-huh.
So if they had some sort of a say in what you know projections should be, maybe they won't have to worry that much.
Uh-huh. Drawer?
Looking at what he said, they want to keep the sales figure low enough so it's not so that's what like increase the expectations of the senior management so they can be assured of like the same amount of reward next year. Just have a consistent income.
So we can kind of control things if we can maintain the sales format. Jeff?
I think they all feel like they're somehow beating the system and that gives them a feeling of power that they want to maintain.
Kind of like they want to share the profit from the ideas. Now, let's freeze this for a second, and let's see how we're all doing, right? Headquarters, are they getting the paperwork they want? They getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, they're getting this. So they're getting the paperwork. Senior managers now, they get job security? How's that looking? Barry, how's that looking?
It's not so good right now.
Not so good. Are they increasing demand successfully here? No, we're not doing so good there. Communication, a lot of stuff falling between. We're not doing so good there. Are we diversifying products at this company? Not so much. Meeting the plan. Well, we're beginning to slip every now and then. Are we the best company in the field at this point? It's questionable. Are we getting lots of new ideas? Our staff's loyal, right? How about profits and growth? What's happening here? Anyone have a figure on that? How much? Say it out.
3%. I said it decreased by 3%.
Right. Going down by 3%. We want it to increase going down. And is our staff working at 100% effort to increase sales? Wow. It's interesting. We get a lot of wants. It's not clear exactly what we're getting. Okay, then we have Brenda, right? Does she have a motivated staff?
No.
Okay. Does she feel as though she's got the control to be the extension of senior management? Is she controlling the people in Florida?
No.
Okay. How about promotion? How's she looking for promotion at this? Well, let's hold off on that. Does she get communication or people sharing ideas amongst her districts?
No.
Does she have Florida Secret, Mike? No, can't convince you yet. Is she doing well in her job? We'll hold that for a second. Job security, is she increasing sales?
No.
Is she getting a bonus? Is that guaranteed?
No.
That's in question. Is she getting a lot of innovative ideas from the staff?
No.
And then, She have the trust of everybody?
No.
Okay, so now let's look. What are her chances for promotion? Is she doing well in her job, and does she have a good chance at job security now, at least on how this looks? All right, so the Florida, let's look at the Florida folks. Are they protecting secrecy? How are we doing, Mike? Yeah, okay, we got that. Security, we got job security at this point. Are we maintaining perfect numbers? Are we hitting our numbers every year? Looks good. Are we controlling plan for the most part?
Yeah.
Well, they're not really giving us control, but are we figuring out how to do it?
Yeah.
I think so, right? Bonuses, are we getting our usual bonuses for hitting plan?
Yes.
Yeah. How about for new ideas? How do we feel about getting that? Are we sharing the profits from new ideas?
No.
It doesn't look that way. Are we maintaining the sales quota at just about the right level? Yeah, we're doing that. Is this still the same relaxed environment we all came to know and love?
Yeah.
Okay. How about the freedom and time free of paperwork? How's that going? I mean, gosh, we're delivering that, so we still don't have that kind of freedom. Do we have a nice team environment here? Trust, affiliation amongst the group?
Yeah.
We're sticking together. Zach, how are we doing? We beating the system? We feeling good about ourselves? So if you looked at some internal warfare here at Hauser Foods, who's coming out ahead?
Florida.
Someone want to identify the folly for us? Patrick, start with us down that down route. What's the folly here? What's going on here?
They wanted to, like, if they help and the whole company does well, then they can keep their jobs, but if they don't help the company, like the rewards don't match what kind of inputs they want to give out.
Okay, and so and what's the company rewarding and what's it getting and what does it want and what, I mean, what's going on here? You read about the folly. What's happening here? Anyone know? Jason?
The company is rewarding for continued growth, but to, in order to get that continued growth, they have to work harder and harder and harder. And these people don't want to, like, the time effort that they would have to put in to work harder and harder and harder isn't worth it.
Okay, so the company wants more, and they're not getting the right sort of stuff, Mike?
The company is rewarding competition within the company instead
okay.
of competition within against competing industries or
okay.
competing companies within the industry.
All right, so they're rewarding. They want competition externally, and they're getting it internally. Paul?
So there's reinforcement for the Florida team to do what they're doing right now and keep it secret. If they
why?
Because if they did the alternative is
which is
giving the information to the senior managers would just increase their work level and the same amount of with the same amount of pay they're getting right now.
Aha! So if I share my ideas, what happens? What happens if I share my ideas? Yeah.
They lose out.
They lose out.
Don't have their security anymore.
And what does senior management want after all?
Innovation.
They want innovation. But if I share my ideas, I lose out. So what's senior management rewarding again?
Paperwork.
They're rewarding paperwork. And they're rewarding what?
Secrecy.
Take those numbers, hit plan, deliver the paperwork. But guess what? We need new ideas. Right? We need new ideas if we're going to survive. So, let's now take a closer look at this folly based on expectancy theory.
Thank you.
So, again, this is one of those implicit calculation models that's saying that you can model human behavior based on what's implicitly going on within people's brains. It's not necessarily the case people are making this kind of a systematic calculation, but this is a way that we can evaluate the way rewards or motivational schemes are working. And the idea is that there's some probability that people believe, there's some probability people place on whether or not their effort is going to produce a given performance, and then they also have some probabilistic judgment on whether their performance is going to deliver a certain outcome, and then they place a certain value, it's called valence, certain value on the outcomes. And the valence can be positive or negative. So there's a probability from 0 to 1 that people place on whether or not their effort will produce a performance, whether performance will lead to an outcome. Both of those have probabilities, and then you multiply those probabilities by the valence, the value, the attractiveness of the outcome to the person, and then you can determine what it is people are likely to be motivated to do. You want to answer three questions from people, from people's point of view, right? If I try, can I perform? If I perform, will I receive the outcome? How much do I value or disvalue a particular outcome? All right, so now, Brenda Cooper, right? And you're trying to figure out, what am I going to do to change stuff in Florida? So first I want to diagnose using expectancy theory what people are likely to be motivated to do right now. What are the three key performances, three key tasks that we expect the Florida team to get done? What are the three big things? David? Pardon? Can't sleep without the paperwork. Other things, Supriya?
Meet the sales plan.
Meet the plan. What else do we want? Matt?
Not really sure. Is it innovate?
Right. Let's assign probabilities. If they put the effort in, Rich?
I think this meet the plan concept is really ridiculous. I mean, we want them to sell as many things as they possibly can. We want them to do their best. We don't want them to fix them up to some mediocre standard and say, well, as long as you get this, you're doing a good job. And really, it's not the best they can do.
Right. So let's look at why maybe some of that's happening. It's a great point. Let's see why that's happening. Now, if they put the effort in, can they meet the plan? I mean, if they do the work, and what probability would you put on that? Let's just use low, moderate, or high. If they do the work, if they put in the effort, can they meet the existing sales plan? Would you say that's low or moderate or high? Okay. If they put the effort in, can they finish the paperwork? I mean, what's the likelihood that they can do that? If they actually do the work, can they do the paperwork, put in the effort? Would you say that's low, moderate, high? Okay, so if they actually sit down and do it, how about new ideas? What's the likelihood if they put in the effort they can come up with new ideas? I mean, they get a good one now, but where would you put that? Low, moderate, high? What do you think? High. So if they put the effort in, guaranteed they can come out with new ideas?
Moderate.
And why would it be moderate?
Maybe because, I mean, they've been in the market for 30 years and they haven't had so many new ideas.
So they're sitting on a pretty good one down in Florida, but you know, it's a moderate probability. We can put the effort in, we might get a new idea. What happens if we meet plan? If we meet the existing sales plan, what happens? Ryan? You get your bonus? Anything else happen if we meet plan? Kurt?
Next year.
You get the opportunity to do what?
To meet the bonus again the next year. It's not just a one-time gift. It's something that can be recurring.
Okay, so you might get a recurring bonus here. What else happens if you meet plan four?
There is expectations.
Okay. What value do we place on the recurring bonus? Do we like that? As the Florida sales team, is that a positive thing or a negative thing? And how about the fact that the expectations go up if we meet plan? How do we feel about that? Okay. Anything else from meeting plan that happened?
Keep your job.
And do we put a, what kind of a value do we put on that?
Positive.
Anything else? Tara?
Your level of income dollars don't go up. They stay the same year after year because your expectations are going up, but your income is the same.
Aha. So this might be a little bit more of a, might be a double negative because of what's happened. Chill.
Job security goes down because it becomes more difficult to
Right? So we better hope that someone in addition to Albie discovered the new market. How about paperwork? What's the outcome? If we do the paperwork, what happens?
Marcy? Do you keep Atlanta happy with your progress?
How do we feel about that? Do we, what value, what valence is there of that? But,
they like, because it gives them their freedom. It gets Atlanta.
How do we like that? Anything else come from doing the paperwork, Zach?
You have less time to do things like cold calls, or, getting customers, or something like that.
And how do we feel about that? We have less time to do cold calls and sales. Do we like that?
No.
I don't really like that. Okay, how about if we innovate, if we come up with some new ideas, what do we get out of this? What's the outcome if we come up with new ideas?
We get a really small $1,000 bonus.
And why do we think that's really small?
Because if you come up with a good new idea, then you know, the company's going to raise your sales expectations. You know, you're going to think with the new idea you'll be able to sell a lot more. And in the long term, it's going to decrease your income and you have to work a lot harder.
And why in particular do you think we think this $1,000 bonus is like? Anyone want to apply anything? From what
term?
The theory that I think it was like equity, I think, where they're putting in something that's going to make the company a lot of money.
Right.
The company's only giving them a small portion of it. So they're like, why put in the effort if nobody, you know, they're going to reap all the rewards?
Why bother? Anything else that we get from innovating or new ideas? Something else happen here? Rich?
Well, I think that this, like, our expectations are going to be raised because now, I mean, you know, the plans are going to go up, and it's going to be more difficult for us to meet the plans. And that's how I would say negative.
Huh? Let's get this other negative. Now, go ahead, Damon.
Also, they said it would take time away from them making cold calls and things like that. And they would have to work longer hours.
Aha.
If they wanted to meet the plan.
So there's another thing we all want. John?
Well, if they can keep a new idea to see what they have and do it, then it's a positive because it's like a free ride.
Aha. And what do I want is Brenda Cooper? Do I want to keep them secret? Sorry. Do I want to keep them secret? So now if I'm Brenda and I'm looking at this and I'm trying to model what's going on down there, why it is that something phenomenal is going down there. But woof. What is it? Where is it that? What do we want, right? We want new ideas. And yet, what we're doing is we're going to raise expectations, we're going to take away time, and maybe we'll give them a small bonus, which we know just makes them angrier when they look at that small bonus. So you get a task to complete, right? Right? Here's where we stand with this. Right? The sales force wants money, right? They want the bonus, they want consistency, they would prefer not to have any paperwork. They'd like a bigger reward for their suggestions, and they really like the solidarity, right? It's us against the rest of this company. Now, Brenda Cooper, remember, this is gonna be the position that many of you will be in. You're not gonna be running the company, at least for, you know, 5 to 10 years. You can control the sales quotas within the region, bonus allocation in the region, you can control the paperwork, and you can control communication in the region. So your challenge is, what are you going to do? You're not a senior manager yet, where you'd like to be. What are you going to do so that maybe you can find out what they're doing down in Florida? Maybe you could change the reward scheme so this doesn't keep happening in all of your districts, and you can become the hero, do well in your job, get job security, become an extension of senior management, and get promotion. What's the sort of thing that you can do? Now, we're going to break up into groups so that as groups you come up with some brainstorm creative ideas. And the way we'll do this, we're going to break up into 9 groups. And let's start counting out with Daniel. We'll go across the room, and I'll just point to some of the rows are out of line. Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
with Brandon Cooper. What is the bonus system you're going to use? What's the bonus system you're going to use? And is it all right, do the group ones, will you agree, is it okay if they take you as part of the group discussion for the web? Just let them know and you convene over here. Introduce yourselves to one another before you start the task.
In order to make the company happy, Brandon needs to stimulate sales overall. And the biggest problem is that people aren't happy with compensation regarding their new idea. I mean, in order to stimulate sales overall, we need to get new ideas. And so she needs to reallocate the bonus system, I think, in some way to get a lot more bonus on. I'm not necessarily meeting with Brandon much to stimulate sales. Because that way, it should just be a downfall. There should be a waterfall effect if everyone understands new ideas.
Yeah, I think one of the important things they have to do is, like, in the following year when they raise expectations, they also give them, like, a pay raise, too. Like, because they're working for the same amount, and they have to make more sales. So it's a logical, like, they should give them just a flat-out pay raise, and then also give them bonus for, like,
I think there's a bigger issue with the donuts, like the sales, like expectations are set from up above, and people, you know, say and what will happen to you and what the person will see in the next term. We get the opportunity to redirect the attention and have it begin with the sales crews that are in the different locations that are fall underneath Brenda. Have them set goals for themselves and give input. That way they feel like they'll set goals that they think will be feasible and what they think will be, I don't know what the word is, but not attainable, but fair for what for the amount they're getting paid, so that way they set their goals accordingly. And then Brenda can use that information to help set the expectations or set the goals for the upper level when she's doing it for them.
Yeah, I think that's important. We learned about that at the very beginning. If the upper management sets the goals and the lower management, I mean, the lower people aren't going to want to do it.
Yeah,
there's entirely not.
What was it? It was in the reading.
It's like it was one of the first.
It was under the sales plan.
No, it was like it was just where like it was one of those ideas of like if the employee sets the goal with management.
Yeah, I have it all.
You know what I mean?
It's on the same page as the expected.
Yeah, so
right.
Entirely that.
So anyway,
I was also thinking even creating stock options in the company, because that's one thing that doesn't seem like there is right now. The employees don't really feel like they're that much. Like it doesn't matter what happens to the company; they just want to like themselves. They want to do this.
Especially
they're giving stocks.
Especially for like the new ideas they're creating, so
right?
Increase the sales.
Exactly, and if they own stock in the company, they're gonna want the company to do better.
And to go along with like setting goals like lower levels, it should like increase the communication. Like that's
yeah.
like definitely lagging.
Yeah, that goes
secrets. I mean, if she'd have like talked to them, developed a trust, you know, maybe goes out with some like some kind of retreat,
yeah.
some team building, you know, and just kind of work together in those kind of like one-on-one situations.
I think at a company level, I mean, at a district level with Brendan, and as a company level as well, because everyone in all the salespeople like basically hate the company. You know?
Yeah.
So along with stock options, which I think is a great idea. I mean, you know, some kind of like the company should, I mean, I guess Brenda doesn't have control other than resetting to the company what she thinks is somehow getting a company for organization or event to increase employee morale.
What do you think about the paperwork also? Is that something that we're gonna just eliminate or you should decrease paperwork?
Well, we don't know what the paperwork is. It could
yeah.
be really vital information. What we could do is hire on someone to be support staff and to deal with the sales representatives to take that part of their job away from them if it's so tedious and they don't like it. I think it would make sense to hire someone to help them.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And eliminate that so they have more time to do this work. I also thought that one of the things that was missing in the dynamics was Brenda's just hired on. She's a recent MBA, and here she is, like, she's the manager. These people that had been in the company for, like, 20 years when they had only high school education, they might feel threatened by her and that she's, like, making more than them, and she's setting all these goals for them when she has no idea really what the company is.
She's not, like, one of the boys. She's
right.
Like, okay,
well. So along the same lines that she really needs to get in touch with people and become part of the staff instead of being the manager. Like,
I think the problem with them, separate from that, with the whole bonus system and with increasing sales, was that they were always, if you push to the max and they increase the sales, it was kind of like, if you had a really, really great year one year, then the next year it could be like not such a good year, but you still you're expected to get at least 10% above that. And so in essence, not creating the expectations of sales based on the previous year, but kind of based on like a moving scale or like costs, I don't know, like something
average
yeah, an average growth, like something else
yeah.
in the environment. So, yeah.
Well, I definitely think what it's ridiculous is they always increase the plan. No matter what.
Yeah.
They don't take into anything except the fact that, you know, sales.
Right, because you could have an incredible year when you're doing, and the economy is doing really well, and then
yeah.
actually the economy be doing horribly and sales are down.
What if you just went entirely on based on commission rather than bonus as a percentage of your sales? Do you think that would motivate in the same way?
It would, but in some instances, like some markets might have a higher demand than others. But I mean, if you had better sales manager, one market might be. Maybe they're cheated because they don't have the access to more employees. But I mean, it might be good to set like some kind of commission off of like, okay, you're expected maybe this much, and if after you exceed that, you exceed from what you're expected.
But also, if it's on commission, that's going to take away from the team effect, and it's going to make it more of an individual.
Mm-hmm. It could be like a team commission, like if your team does overall. But,
I also think their bonuses can be spread out and spent a little more of the things with other departments, like other, she said she's got 5 district managers under her, working with them, and to pay both camaraderie and competition between the two, like, oh, well, we're the Florida sales team, it's going to be better. And so that way, they aren't getting a direct money bonus, but saying, like, okay, we're going to take you guys all, like, he takes everyone to Cedar Park, Disney World for a week at the end of their internship. And I
so
think
almost like having like awards, like
Disney
awards.
Cedar
Point is a long drive.
Yeah. It was Disney World.
Yeah. Take just another couple minutes to jot down your ideas and then let's reconvene.
Okay, did we touch on the main points? Our basis of reward is what?
So let's talk about the average growth instead of like basing it based on that CBS increases on growth in that year, like average growth in the economy in that year, and then based on that the bonuses. But I also think bonuses it should be less important as opposed to like a base salary being more important.
Yeah, I thought
the base salary. So say increase base salary and still have bonuses, but make them.
Should we try to direct the bonuses more to innovation than to just on sales? We can create a more of a lighthouse salary system and then an extra.
I was reading in a magazine about an article about a guy who every year that he increases growth he gives like 10% of his sales, and the company, people ask how could you do that, that's so expensive, and you're giving him all this extra money. But the way the manager decided was, yeah, I give him 10%, the company keeps 90%, or not sales of the profit, and the guy has had increasing sales for like the past 30 years, and yeah, they keep giving him more money and more money, but the sales keep going up and up and up, and I thought that was a really innovative idea, in a way that the company was actually showing them, I think that what you're doing is a really good job, and I encourage you to do this in the future, and I will pay you accordingly. I just thought that was really good.
So basically, it's a commission, right?
Yeah, it is a commission, but it's a
commission. Can I get your attention, please?
But
so, what sorts of ideas have you come up with? What sorts of things might Brenda Cooper do as the regional manager to reconfigure the reward system? What do you think she might do?
Instead of basing your salary on how you do it compared to the plan, they might want to base it on 9% of your sales.
Uh-huh.
So that gives you more incentive to keep selling. Well, I mean, once you get to, it's not going to encourage you to work harder. It's, you know, there's a positive reinforcement.
Okay, so you're not punished for increasing the quota, but you're in fact rewarded for it. Other ideas, Mike?
Yeah, I thought of it in like the short term and then in the long term. Like, in the long term, there's a lot of like, better alternatives as far as like you're going through senior management and getting things like that. But like something is due to like profit sharing, whereas like you increase the profits and you're getting 60% of it like reflected in your bonus as opposed to like one time deal. Also, like, you know, stock options or things such as that. But in the short term, where she has little control of what senior management does, like just kind of like arranging the reward system in such a way that it's like rewarding the entire region. Therefore, like they might be like, you might, one district might be more prone to like share their ideas because if someone's slacking another district, then they're going to actually be hurt. That's its like negative side, but like as a whole, it might stimulate.
And how would you do that? Any groups have thoughts about how you would do that? how would you do it? How would you do that so you get the whole region, you reward performance of the whole region? Any thoughts about how you might do that?
Sure.
You could have with bonuses for the whole region instead of specific districts. Say if the whole region meets their sales quota, then everybody in the region gets a bonus, but if the region doesn't, then nobody gets a bonus.
So therefore, if we find out if there's an elderly market for baby food, maybe we won't keep it to ourselves because the whole region increases in sales. You get a bigger bonus. Other thoughts? What else might you do for the bonus system? Jessica?
You said that we should take that this away from like intro company and make it like just industry competition. But the whole problem is that like the Florida people don't want to help the Chicago or whatever. And
create some regional competition here. Any other thoughts from any of the groups? Daniel?
We're talking for, as far as bonuses, instead of each year, your growth, your sales have to be like 10% more in order to get a bonus. Instead, make it based on the average economic growth as a whole in the economy, and on that you get the bonus, not based on like, so you're taking away from like, if you do really well this year, you have to do even better next year. This way it's more like you're doing well, and it's independent almost.
So there's some kind of objective criterion that we're linking the reward to, right? We're going to look at general economic conditions. Adam?
Daniel mentioned when we were talking about stock options, I thought that was a really good idea to increase kind of awareness of the company as a whole.
So it's a way to build the corporate spirit in the long term if we can get the attention of senior managers.
Does that have to do with the bonus system? It has to do with the role compensation, that maybe they should increase their base salary, because right now they don't really feel like they're part of the company. They feel like they're hired guns. They're just, you know, look out for themselves. They're selling the product, but they don't really identify with the company behind the product. So if they raise their base salary, maybe they would feel like they have some kind of stake in the future of the company.
So, and it'll also give them that sense of consistent earnings, right, that they were after. Marcy?
To increase innovation, sometimes companies, if you introduce a new idea, say they introduce to the elderly market, and the sales of the whole company go up by 10%, that team would be rewarded a certain percentage of that.
So that, hey.
You're thinking more of the company as a whole rather than just yourself.
So our fate isn't just how we do down here, it's how the whole company does. Good.
We brainstormed a little bit, kind of combining those last two, where the increase in base salary would come as a result of innovation and new ideas, so that they would see kind of a long-term effect of their innovations.
David?
One of the things we came up with is that if they sort of centralize the paperwork, then they could sell more without feeling that they were spending more time selling, because they said, oh, we have to do the paperwork so we can't sell. Well, they'd be working the same amount of time but could still sell more and would get a bonus also.
So there's a way we can reconfigure the tasks that they're doing, which is a perfect transition to Winkler's Puzzle. We're going to look at the way jobs are structured to motivate. But you see, there's a variety of ways that you can think about motivating people. What I want to call your attention to is, oftentimes when we think about changing reward schemes, we think a lot about, well, what new arrows might we add, right? What new performances do we want? What new outcomes could we add? You also want to think about, well, how do you get rid of obstacles? What sorts of arrows might you want to erase? Like, how could you get rid of this, right? If you meet plan, expectations go up. And remember, they're dealing with a mature product here. It's a mature product line, so if you keep ratcheting up the quota, you're just not going to get it. There's no more market for baby food other than what we found with the elderly, so we really do depend on this. So you want to focus both on adding arrows, right, adding outcomes, and looking at which arrows that currently exist, right, which outcomes related to which performances are obstructing the sorts of effort, the sorts of performances that we're looking for. How do we get rid of the obstructing arrows? Now, this is in a handout that you can pick up on your way out. There are two piles. It's the exact same handout. Pick one up on your way out. The idea is, look, when you're thinking about rewards as managers, make sure you're linking the performance you want to the rewards, right? That wasn't happening at Hauser Foods. Rewards weren't linked to the performance that they wanted. They wanted new ideas. That wasn't what was being rewarded. And make sure you're very careful to think about, what is it that I want to reward anyway? Is it effort? Is it ability? What is it that I want to reward? Or results. I mean, grades tend to reward results. But in fact, a lot of what we get, a lot of what we might like rewarding sometimes is effort and ability. And there are different times you want to reward effort, different times you want to reward ability. Sometimes you just want to reward results. But be very clear about what it is you're after and therefore what you're going to reward. Make sure you pick up a handout. I'll be in my office in about 10 minutes till 7. And see you Wednesday. Oh, please, just can I get your attention? If you were asked to fill out a pink form, could you make sure that you fill that out before you leave and drop it off up front? Thanks.
Oh, you got one already.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we didn't get one, we don't have to.
I don't. Yeah. Tomorrow, for
something.
What?
Okay.
I think when you walk out, you might not see it.
Yeah.
He finished.